Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And the title today is Powerful One Another's, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll come to the one in 1 Corinthians, Lord willing, in time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage each other, or one another, and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And here's the picture. When we are born into this world, we have physical life from our parents. That's our physical birth. In order to go to heaven, we need to be born again, a second time, to be born spiritually. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when the Spirit of God convicts our hearts, draws us to the Savior, we are born again and we trust in Christ. And our lives are new because now we're in the family of God. We belong to Him by virtue of the new birth. Every person here today in this room, every person in the whole world today has either had one or two births. We've all been born physically. That's obvious. We can see each other. We can talk to each other. The question is, have we been born the second time? As our trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for salvation. When we've trusted in Christ and we're saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Then God has a way for us to live. He wants us to relate to each other in the body of Christ. And this little formula, the one another's, occurs over and over in the New Testament. And it teaches us how to relate to each other in the body. We are looking at Numbers 15, 16, and 17, the way I've numbered them. So far, we've looked at 14 one another's in the New Testament. I'll not review all of those this morning. We've done that at various times. But we come today to number 15. It's very similar to the last one. Comfort one another. And this one, encourage one another, but it's the same word. It's the same word. Let's ask God for understanding. Father, thank you for your truth, for your plan, for how we relate in the family of God when we've been born again. Teach us, Lord, to understand what your word says, and then teach us, Lord, to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, after the passage on the rapture says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 says, therefore, comfort each other or exhort each other and edify one another. So we looked at the comfort aspect. This word parakaleo, that means to call alongside, has about four definitions, and one of them means this, to instill someone with courage or cheer. Comfort, encourage, or cheer up. And that particular nuance of parakaleo seems to be what's in mind in verse 18 of chapter 4. But then in chapter 5, verse 11, this parakaleo seems to be another definition that means this, to urge strongly, appeal to, urge or exhort or encourage. So Paul is saying here, therefore, encourage or exhort, urge each other. We are to encourage one another, to build up, to strengthen, to help someone take another step. I want you to notice the context of this. It's really powerful, and I have the notes there in the bulletin for you. Notice the context of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort or encourage each other. I think the nuance here more than comfort is encourage. Notice verses 4 through 6. verses 4 through 6. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Believers have a spiritual standing. We are not in the darkness, we're in light. He says, this day, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord should not overtake you because you are not in the darkness, you're in the light. That's our standing. We have a spiritual standing. We have been moved from darkness into the realm of light. And look at verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, sober-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Turn a few pages back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives us a sample of the spiritual armor. But notice Ephesians chapter 6. What he says here about our armor. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. All right? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, the spiritual armor that we put on our head, as it were, is the salvation that can be known based on the truth of the Word of God. These things have I written to you, 1 John 5 says, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We put on the helmet of salvation. We know about salvation. We know the truth of it. We experience salvation. So Paul samples the armor here in 1 Thessalonians 5. And he says, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Paul calls it the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Not hope as in, I hope it doesn't snow today. But hope as in confident expectation, surety and knowledge of God's truth. Put on this helmet, this hope of salvation. We have a glorious salvation in the past and the present and a glorious salvation in the future when Jesus comes back. So believers have strong armor, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we see that believers have a settled salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath. A settled salvation. Those who believe in Jesus at the moment of salvation receive something. Eternal life. And eternal life in Scripture is quantitative. It lasts forever. But it is qualitative. It is a relationship with God. It's a quality of life. And so he says here, God did not appoint us to wrath. Is it possible to believe in Jesus as your Savior and then you mess up? And God says, that's it. I'm pulling that eternal life. No more eternal life for you. You're facing wrath. No, God does not do that. He does not go back on His promises. He does not take back His Word. He does not change the promise of eternal life and turn it into wrath. We have not been appointed to wrath. And this has, I think, two meanings. The wrath of hell, but in the context of 1 Thessalonians also, the wrath of the tribulation period. We have a settled salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is settled through the person and work of Jesus. In verse 9b, to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a sufficient Savior. Jesus died on our behalf. Jesus is sufficient for our salvation. Notice, there is no other human name given here. There's no church name given here.
You are not saved through East End Baptist Church. You're not saved through you put the church name in there. No church can save anyone. It's Jesus that saves. It's only the person of Jesus Christ. There's no human being other than Christ who can save. Salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, who died for us. We have a sufficient Savior. Jesus died in our place, in our behalf. Isn't that tremendous? That's where I deserve to be, to hang on the cross and pay for my sins. But Jesus took my place. That's where you deserve to be. But Jesus died on the cross in your place. We have a sufficient Savior. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a lie from the devil that says, find your own way. You can figure your own way to God. You can make it your way. You can do enough good works. Not at all. It's only in the person of Jesus Christ. And then in the last part of verse 10, we have seamless security. I love this. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with Him. Seamless security. We have unity and union with Christ. And God's plan for us is that whether we're alive or dead, we should live with Christ and live in His presence, live in His power. What security is that? Living together with Him because we've been united with Him. We have the life of Christ in us. Seamless security in life or death, an unbreakable bond. Even death does not separate us from the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities. Nothing separates us from that love of Christ. Whether we live, whether we die, we have life together with Jesus Christ because we have been united to Him. And over in the epistles, Paul talks about being in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. That's what he's talking about. So in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul dealt with the rapture, with what happened to those who died in Christ. And he comforts the people based on that. And now he's showing us the wonders of our life in Christ, our salvation in Christ. And then he says in verse 11, therefore. Just like in verse 18 of chapter 4, therefore, bring comfort to one another, cheer up one another, because this is what happens to those who've died in Christ. Now he says, because of our spiritual standing, our strong armor, our settled salvation, our sufficient Savior, our seamless security, based on that, we have sacred support of one another. Comfort or exhort one another. Encourage one another. Call someone alongside. Put your arm around them and encourage them in the Lord. Point them to Jesus as an encouragement to take the next step in the Christian life. We have a responsibility not to discourage each other, but to encourage. Not to kill the heart within, but to strengthen the heart within. Therefore, based on this wonderful salvation, based on the battle that we're in, where we need spiritual armor, come alongside each other and encourage someone. You might need to exhort them, say, brother, here's the truth, or sister, here's the truth. But encourage them. This happened this week. And by the way, again, I want to thank you so much. Cards, phone calls, even special gifts that show up. What a blessing. This happened this week. We got a card from someone here at East End Baptist Church. And the same day, we got a card from someone in another state. And they were different cards, but they both had the same poem on them. And the same scripture, Isaiah 41:10. What a blessing. And it was a day that we needed that. It was an encouragement. That was just really neat to see that. Over 1,000 miles away, someone can send a card, and someone just a few miles away, and same message. That's a blessing. What a blessing to encourage each other and to encourage each other with scriptures. And you have blessed me. I want to thank you so much for all of that and for the prayers. And we read Sister Rapley's testimony there, that card. It's a blessing, and scriptures are a blessing to each other. Listen, friends, we're in the same standing. We're in light, not in darkness. We have strong armor because we're all facing a spiritual battle. But our salvation settled. And Christ is the centerpiece. He's our focal point. And we have this wonderful security in Christ. And based on all that, we have no reason not to encourage one another or exhort one another. And certainly that does indeed produce comfort. So, comfort one another based on the return of Jesus Christ, chapter 4, verse 18. And another shade of the same word, encourage one another, chapter 5, verse 11. Remember, to call alongside. There are people that need someone just to step alongside and to whisper in their ear some word of encouragement, to share some scripture with them. And you know, when we come to the collective body of believers with the intent to be a blessing to someone else, we will most likely leave ourselves with a blessing. If we come only wanting to know what people are going to do for us, we may leave as miserable as we came. When we come to be a blessing, we will be blessed. Encourage one another. Just as you also are doing, Paul says. I love his encouragement, his example here. I urge you, I exhort you, comfort one another, just as you also are doing. How positive he is in his leadership to them. You all are doing this, keep doing it, and doing it more, he says. Continue to encourage one another. This is what you're doing, you're on the right path, keep going doing that. That's a good spiritual leader. Now, the next one another, very much related to the comfort and the encouragement. And notice in verse 11, therefore encourage one another and edify or build up one another. Build up one another. Build up. This is a fascinating word. It comes from two words. One is the word house and the other is to build. Build a house. Build up one another. Now you see, in your Bible, or my Bible, the first one says each other. It's literally the one another formula. But after build up or edify, mine also says one another, but it's a little different expression. It's not the reciprocal pronoun, but it has the same effect. So we're studying it here in this list. It's literally this, and build up one the one. One the one. Or we could say one to one. Build up one, one. One the one. One the one. One the one. One another. Each other. And I think it helps us understand the reciprocal pronoun, one another. It's one the one. One the other. And so you see another person. We need to know their name in the body of Christ, because they are the one, and we may be the one to encourage that one, or that one may be the one to encourage us. And so we know their name, and we seek to build them up. Now, this word that means to build a house, here's what it means in this spiritual sense, and it's used literally about building a house, but I like this definition. To promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness. Build up one the one. Build up one another. Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness. We are here to encourage spiritual growth. And then I like this definition. To help improve ability to function in living responsibly and effectively strengthen, build up, and catch this, make more able. Great definition. To make more able. I remember distinctly playing football one time, and I guess I got tackled, but I fell in a certain way. I was carrying the ball. I fell in a certain way that the ball, I guess, was right at my diaphragm, and it knocked the wind out of me. It was a terrible feeling to have the wind knocked out of you, to gasp for a breath. We can do that to another Christian. Just knock the wind out of them. Or we can be like putting them in an oxygen tent. Just vivify and give them air and breath. Paul is calling on us to build up one another, not knock the wind out of someone else. And it's a one-to-one responsibility. One-to-one. Believers should build up other believers. It's a responsibility here in Scripture. So we're born into the family of God. We are in a relational context. Other believers are there, and we have a responsibility to each other, to one another. And one of those responsibilities is to build up. We should build up other believers. We should not tear down other believers. I want to give some suggestions on how we can build up, some contrasts. Build up instead of tearing down. We should give spiritual energy to others and not drain energy away from others. We should inspire others to godliness, not discourage them from godliness. Someone comes to you and they're all excited about something they read in the Bible, and you have a response like this: "Oh, I don't even understand that stuff." You just tore it down. You discouraged. Instead of, they come to you, they're excited about a verse in Scripture, and you say, "You know, I honestly don't understand that, but I am so glad that you found that, and let's go see what it means. Let's find out what it means." We can inspire others to godliness. In the home, we see someone praying, we can encourage that instead of discourage it. We can cause others to want to read the Word, not neglect the Word. Make it easy. Make it quiet so they can read, so they can understand the Word and not be distracted from it. We can show appreciation for church attendance, not discourage from attendance. Someone calls you up on Wednesday night and says, "Let's go shopping." You say, "Well, but I was thinking I might go to prayer meeting." "Oh, let's go shop." Why discourage when someone going to prayer meeting? Shop Thursday night, Tuesday night, Monday morning, but go to prayer meeting. We don't need to discourage from doing things that are godly and right. And someone says, "Man, I'm excited. I'm a little scared, but I'm excited about going out on the street doing some evangelism." Someone says, "Oh, I'd never do that. I just forget it. I could just never do that." Well, maybe you can't in your own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ, you can do it. Encourage someone else. We can encourage witness for Christ, not dishearten a witness for Christ. Make others want to take another step in living for Christ, not take away the desire to live for Jesus. That's building up. How about this? Encourage others to resist sin, not lead them into sin. A weakness someone has toward a particular sin, and you want to tempt them with it and flaunt what you think is your Christian liberty. Why? Paul says it's not worth it. Let's encourage others to resist sin, not lead someone into sin, the precipice of sin. Strengthen the bonds of one's marriage, not weaken the marriage bonds. I heard a story some years ago. A Christian couple, they seemed so vibrant in this local church in Tampa, Florida. But the man had these buddies, and I don't know if they were single once or twice, but apparently they would talk down marriage and begin to I don't know if they made fun of the other fellow and his marriage. Christian couple. Well, apparently he started believing what his buddy said. He lost, you know, his freedom because he was bound with a wife and whatever. And pretty soon that marriage fell apart. We can build up someone's marriage or we can weaken it. May God help us to build up marriage. A Christian brother came to me one time and he said, "Look, I need help. I need prayer. There's this lady at my workplace. She is after me. She's in my face. She's after me." May that never be, that someone weakens someone else's marriage because of unbridled lust and sin. Strengthening the bonds of one's marriage, not weakening it. And encouraging godly child rearing, not distracting from it. Many different ways of building up others, encouraging them in the Lord. What is God doing in your life? That's a great question. There are times that I've been asked that, and I appreciate that. That's a challenging spiritual question that has the potential to build up others. Let's talk about something substantive, not just something passing and transient. What's God doing in your life? What's happening spiritually in your heart? Building up one to one. And Paul says, just as you are doing. Listen, we need to be reminded of this. We are to build up each other in the Word of God, in our example, in our lifestyle, in our attitude, and in our speech. You know, all these things are so important. And there are things that you don't have to say. For example, someone comes to you and they're excited and they say, "I'm going to church." You don't say a word. You just do this. "I didn't say a word. What's your problem?" "I didn't say a word." Nonverbal communication that tears down instead of builds up. And building up others in word, example, lifestyle. No matter how old you are, how young you are, someone sees your life. Someone watches. What example do they see? Are we building up others, encouraging others? In light of the spiritual battle that we're in, how we need to build up each other. Let me ask you, as I ask myself this, could someone look at your life and want to be more devoted to Jesus because of what they see in you? That's building up. Could someone be encouraged to live a holy life by following your example? A lady's very discouraged. This is nobody here, but years ago. Very discouraged because she found in her husband's vehicle Sports Illustrated magazine, swimsuit edition. His example and his secrecy was a discouragement to his wife. And you know what? Kids figure out things like this too. Will someone be built up and encouraged by my life, by your life, or will they be torn down? May God help us to build up each other. And no matter how young you are, how old you are, you can be used by God to build up others, to be an encouragement, to be a blessing. All right, now, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. And here's another one another in 1 Thessalonians. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good. Pursue what is good, both for yourselves," literally, "into one another." Pursue the good to one another and for all. Pursue the good. Pursue good to one another. Comfort one another, encourage one another, build up one another, and pursue good to one another. Now look at the contrast here. Verse 15a, "See that no one renders evil for evil. Instead, do this. pursue what is good. Notice this law here. I referred to it before. It's all through Scripture. The law of replacement. Instead of giving evil for evil, do this. Pursue good to one another. Well, what is giving evil for evil? Instead of evil things, put in their place good things and pursue them. And there is this evil tendency in our human hearts, rooted in our depravity, that wants to pay back evil to someone who has done evil to us. The payback. And so when we plot revenge, someone in the conference room put me down at the workplace, and so I'm waiting for the time, and I'm going to make them look so stupid. I'm going to put them down. That's putting evil for evil. Someone harmed me. They made me hurt. Well, I'm going to make them hurt. And Paul says, no. Don't give back evil for evil. There's something in our human heart that wants to do that. And he says, not rendering evil for evil. Put away that tendency. Now, look at how this is repeated. Go back to Romans chapter 12. In verse 17. And here Paul says, repay no one evil for evil. Says it again. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And so someone hurts us and we rehearse in our head what we're going to do, what we're going to say to get even, to get back at them. And we say, I'm going to let loose on them and give them a piece of my mind. And someone said, you need to keep all your mind. You can't spare any. Don't give some of it away. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Instead, in contrast to that, replace that with this. Pursuing what is good. Believers must not repay bad for bad, evil for evil, but must pursue good things for other believers. Now, I want you to notice this word, pursue. That is intentional. The intentional nature of this. I was having a leisurely walk at the park, and all of a sudden this car was zooming down the street, and all these cars and the homes are around, zooming down the street, and then I realized what was happening. There was another car behind it. It was lights on. There was a pursuit going on. And it wasn't like, well, when I get around to it, I'll just take a Sunday afternoon drive and I'll follow that fellow. No, he was zooming down the road to catch the culprit, whatever the issue was. Pursuing intentional activity. I plan to do this and I do this. I pursue what is good. As an act of the will, I decide that I'm going to do this. It's intentional. I make a decision and I start. I pursue. I follow that which is good. And when we get consumed with pursuing the good thing, then we don't have room for trying to get even with people and get back in revenge and repay evil for evil. Now I want you to notice in the context here, there are many good things that are suggested to us. And let's notice what it says here. Believers must, and there are nine things, at least nine. Notice verse 12. We urge you, brethren, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Appreciate spiritual leaders and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. This is a great admonition of Scripture to appreciate spiritual leaders for the sake of their work. That's a good thing. Pursue that. And then he says in verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. And I'm wondering if that doesn't fit in the context here with peace also with spiritual leaders. There are ministries where leaders and people are always in conflict. He said, no, pursue peace. Pursue peace with each other. That's a good thing. Live in peace with each other. In our homes, live in peace. A harmonious place where Jesus reigns supreme and there's peace and accord as opposed to discord and acrimonious speech, harsh language, and strife and battle. Live at peace. That's a good thing to pursue. Verse 14. Now exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. There were some people in Thessalonica who were lazy. They were saying they were waiting for the coming of Jesus and they weren't working. He said, warn the unruly, admonish the unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Lift up those who are little soul, those who are struggling, those who are discouraged. Lift them up. This is a good thing to pursue. Look for someone who's downcast and lift them up and encourage them. Uphold the weak. Assist the weak. Look for those with special needs. You know, I've mentioned this before, but the local church, now get this, this is really important. The local church should be a hospital where we're all getting better, where we're being treated by the Word of God and gaining spiritual health. But I think sometimes we have in mind that the local church should be a museum. And we just come and look and everything is polished and in its place and it looks good. And we really want to know issues and problems because that makes us uncomfortable. We just like to have a museum aspect of the local church. No, when it's a hospital, then we can lift up the faint-hearted and uphold the weak and minister to spiritual needs. There are hurting people all around us. And God gives us the privilege and opportunity to touch some lives. And may we welcome those who hurt so that we may point them to the healing that is in Jesus, that's in the Scriptures. And one day we will be a museum. We will be God's trophies of grace for eternity, but He's the one that makes us that. In the meantime, He wants us to minister to one another, to build up, to strengthen, to pursue the good. Notice He says, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Well, why do we need to be patient with each other? A real simple reason. Because we can irritate each other. It's real easy. So we need to exercise love and patience. Be patient with one another. And so He says, don't render evil for evil. Pursue what is good. And verse 16, rejoice always. Be joyful. Be prayerful. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Be thankful, verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here are believers pursuing the good. They appreciate spiritual leaders. They live in peace. They admonish the unruly. They lift the faint-hearted. Assist the weak. They're patient. They're joyful, prayerful, and thankful. Pursue the good. And here's an inspired list of good things to pursue to be a blessing to others. Now, this is interesting to me because I wish I could go back in time and visit the assembly at Thessalonica. I would love to sneak in and see what it was like where they were assembled together and just get to know some of these brothers and sisters who had been saved out of idolatry and had shown the genuineness of their salvation. And I'm intrigued that several one another's are in this little book. And now we've looked at all of them. But let me just quickly review. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Chapter 4, verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you, but you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. To love one another's are here in Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 11. Encourage one another. And chapter 5, verse 11. Build up one another. One the one. Build up. And chapter 5, verse 15. Pursue the good to one another. And here are these six one another's in this little book of five chapters showing this close relationship that believers are to have to each other because we've been born again because our lives are changed. Go back to chapter 1. Just notice their testimony, what he says about them. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work produced by faith, your labor produced by love, your patience produced by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. You, brothers, are the real thing. The gospel came to you in power. Your lives were changed. You left the old life of idolatry behind. You pursued Christ. The evidence of genuine salvation is clear in your lives. And now, love one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. And pursue the good to one another. What a pattern for us. May God enable us to do this right here at East End Baptist Church to one another. Let's pray together. Are you in the family of God? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus to save you and to give you eternal life? If you haven't, why not today? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and go to hell, but I believe that you died on the cross in my place. You rose again. I'm asking you to save me. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've not done that, friend, will you trust in Christ to save you, to give you eternal life? Then you can be in the family of God. Then you can begin to live in these relational truths that we see here. But first is making sure that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If this very day, if I can assist you, pointing you to the Scriptures, how you can know that you have eternal life, will you please visit with me at the end of this service? I would love to point you to the Scriptures so you can know that you are saved and begin to live for Jesus day by day. For each believing friend, is there a particular one another that's hard for you? It's hard for you to encourage someone else, or to comfort someone else, or to pursue the good? Will you ask God for His help? Is it easy for you to live on the negative side of life and instead of the building up side of life? We ask God to help you to build up someone else. Our Father, we need your help. We need your strength to not tear down, but to build up. To not dishearten, but to hearten, to encourage. Lord, there's so many vile things around, and sometimes those vile things are from our own heart as we want to get even. We want to pay back evil for evil, hurt for hurt. Will you cleanse us? Will you forgive us? And will you give us power, Lord, to pursue what is good among each other as believers and to the world around us? We ask for your help. We ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus where we have failed miserably. And we pray, Lord, that as a church we will see ourselves as you see us, that we will be built up and strengthened in the faith one to the other. And Lord, for hurting people that as a church we've been blessed to see their lives or touch their lives, Lord, will you bring healing? Where there's brokenness, where there's a life in ruin, where there's a marriage in trouble, where there's a young person at risk, will you, Lord, use us to bring the healing of the Word of God and the power of Jesus
to change lives by truth. We need your help, your power. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.